Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to a special Tuesday night edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. This week, Danny Only has rejoined us after a grueling weekend of wrestling and some other work in his personal life, his personal job, and Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins is also here as usual. So, let's talk about this week. With all that happened over the weekend and then Monday Night Raw last night, then the big Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party tomorrow night, and then, of course, lots going on locally later this week, and then I'll be down in Miami for all the WrestleMania stuff. So I guess, first of all, we should mention tonight's guest. We have James J. Dillon, legendary manager of the Four Horsemen, will be calling in to talk about his induction into the WWE Hall of Fame with the stable, the Four Horsemen, which the incarnation that's being inducted includes Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, and Barry Windham. Then a little later, I'm going to play, I got to interview Arn Anderson last week, so we'll listen to that. And then Siler Cross is going to call in to talk about his unique experience last night at Raw, interacting with The Miz and The Rock after the cameras stopped rolling. But I guess we can start with last weekend's events, beginning Friday at the Academy Theater. It's kind of a hectic show, of course. Danny Only, I was going to mention you later, but Davey Richards is what I meant. Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly and Tony Cozzino were running a little bit late, apparently. So Empire and PCW had to kind of figure some things out. But once everything fell into place, it was a great show. And Danny, you had a hell of a match, a hell of a few matches and a hell of a night. How are you feeling now?
Oh, man, I'm all right, dude. I've had a grueling past, you know, week and some change, and after Rampage Sunday, I wrestled 8 matches in 8 days. So that was pretty cool, because I don't know a lot of people who do that or who have done that. Because Empire Friday was a Platinum Classic, and first round match I wrestled and beat Zach Daniels, and that led to my meeting in the second round, which was something I honestly never thought that I would ever have the chance to do, and that was to be across the ring from arguably the best wrestler in the world today, and Davey Richards. And about 15 minutes and 20 seconds, we beat the hell out of each other, and I came out victorious. Yes, that's right. For everybody listening at home, Danny Only beat the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion Davey Richards. But honestly, this is the last time you'll hear me brag about it because of the circumstances surrounding it. He was jumped on his way to the ring by the Empire, and all that did was piss me off, because now I never know if I could have beat him if he was 100%. So,
well, Danny, I think you should give yourself a little more credit. You wrestled 2 matches, or you wrestled a match before that and then a match after that, and you also were involved in some scuffles with the Empire that night. So I would say you were at probably less than 100% as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not gonna whine and bitch about it too much. You know, I think I got a small measure of revenge on Jagged Edge, even though he beat me and won. You know, kudos to him. But you know, it's just one of those things. It's when you look at the possibility, because I mean, I could have never know, Zach Daniels could have pinned me, and that would have been the end of it for me. And, you know, it was a pretty decent chance that I was going to be in the ring with Davey, but it might have never happened. But it did, and, you know, it's something when you look at that, you think, I want this guy at his best. And I'm satisfied, you know. Match was good.
Yeah.
I feel I gave him everything that I could handle, and I know that it wasn't disappointing. And you know, people definitely gave me compliments and praise afterwards. So I think that did a lot to prove to people that I'm a lot more than what they thought I was. And that's a trend that I plan on continuing.
A lesser man would die that double stomp.
Oh, my God. I did actually die for about 5 seconds.
I thought she might have been dead for a little while. And followed that up with that apron kick to your right in the tattoo. I mean, anybody else would have said, well, I wrestled Davey Richards. It was fun. I'm just going to eat on out of here now and take this 10 count. Call it a night.
Yeah, the double stomp really hurt. It sucked. I mean, I can't. It was bad. And, Davey kicks hard.
Yeah, I was going to say Supernatural often uses the double stomp, but he's probably a third the size of Davey Richards, or maybe not quite that small, but he's definitely not the size of Davey Richards, so I can't imagine.
I'm not going to take anything away from Supernatural. You know, he's a white guy, but he's got something going on there where I'm pretty sure his double stomp is painful. I mean, Matt Sell knows how much it sucks, but I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say it's nowhere near as bad as Davey Richards. And
it's usually not a throat beater, so that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, Davey kicked the shit out of me, but you know what? I didn't quit. Like, I back up, and as hard as he hit me, I hit him just as hard back, and it was honestly, man, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it was an experience that I'll never forget, and it wasn't, you know, wasn't some blood feud. It was just, he said it at the end of the match, it was two gladiators going in there and kicking each other's asses and entertaining, and that's what I wanted, and that's what I got, and I hope I have the chance to get in the ring with someone of that caliber again.
I believe he basically said Academy Theater is now Danny Only's house, right?
I think he did, dude. I believe he did say that. You know, for those who don't know, and it's so funny because, you know, we go on these, you know, discussions and tangents and stuff, and there's probably still people listening today who shit on Stephen Platinum and Platinum Championship Wrestling and Empire. And, you know, a lot of people did, who don't anymore because they see what the whole product is. It's an alternative, and so many people brand themselves that. We're the alternative to pro wrestling, but they're shit. And Empire/PCW is not. It's an alternative to Anarchy. It's an alternative to Rampage. It's an alternative to the wrestling that you see, but it's still wrestling. And the fact that Davey Richards started his training with Steve Platinum, and that Davey Richards puts over the fact that at its heart and its core, Steve Platinum, PCW, Empire is wrestling, should speak leaps and bounds about what that product is. Nobody's perfect. No product's perfect. And if it was, we'd all be on TV making millions of dollars. It has its flaws, but I consider PCW home. You know, it's the first time, for those who don't know, the first bump I ever took in the ring was by Stephen Platinum. The first time I ever ran the ropes was Stephen Platinum teaching me how to run the ropes. I never considered him my trainer because that was for a month when I was at home on leave from the Army. Then I went back to Germany for a year. But the very first time I stepped in between the ropes was with Steve Platinum leading the way. And I told him that I remember that and I appreciate that. And there's a bond with me and him where we've, you know, known him. I've known him now for 11 years, you know. He sees and loves wrestling. And Davey saw that as well, and I was humbled at the fact that Davey said that that was Miles, because I asked a few people afterwards, and I don't have an ego at all. I know I'm good. I know I'm far from great, you know, but I don't believe anybody in that building Friday night, and Matt, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. I don't believe anybody in that building Friday night got a bigger reaction or response than I did.
Oh, no, no. And that carries a little even more weight because it is you, because you're not, you know, the Booker's about to be shown tomorrow, and, you know, we've seen it, some other people have seen it. You know, you're not in that. It's not like you came up with that promotion, and you're not the Shane Marks, the Jay Fury who's been there forever. And so, you know, you feel like, you know, it is your home. It was always your home. This is something you've come into a little later. So for you to give PCW that kind of credit, that means a lot, because, you know, you're respected here. I know the fans respect you. I know the talk to enough other wrestlers. I know they respect you. So for you to say that, you know, that feels like a home to you now, that's as big a statement for me as having David Richards come down and say it, because you're there every week. You know, we see you every week there, busting your hump doing.
And I bet that's the only place that Davey Richards would wrestle and have most of the audience cheering for his opponent.
Yeah, that was kind of surreal, man.
As much as anything, it was just the quiet of the crowd when you didn't win the whole tournament speaks to how much you meant to that crowd that night anyways, you know, because it wasn't, you know, we've always got something bad to say, you know, to a bad guy wrestler. But we were just beat, you know, the win with Jagged Edge just sucked the air out of us, because we had nothing to say, because we were all in for Danny Only that night.
Yeah, that, you know, and I wasn't beat yet until I got cracked in the head with a kendo stick, and that'll rearrange your thought process. So,
I'm sure Dynamite Soul has some comeuppance in his future.
I'll tell you what he's got. He's got a great big dookie rope gold chain made out of targets right around his neck, and Alaria is going to hit it.
I'd hate to know it was me. I'd hate to know I flung the kendo stick and didn't kill you.
I promise. I you know, and that's funny, because I read Goodman's review of the match, and he said that the only drawback to the match with me and Davey was that my lariats didn't look as good as they usually do. And, you know, I don't know, chalk that up to being nervous, because I was. I'm not going to lie. I told everybody before the match, I was scared. You know, I was. I was in there with the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. I don't think people understand the importance of that, because every company under the sun wants to call their title the world title when it's only defended in a fucking flea market. You know, that the Ring of Honor World title has been defended in Japan. It is a world title. So to be in there with the world champ, and I was scared, you know. So my game was a little bit off, and, you know, there was things that I, you know, don't normally do that I did, and there was things that I, you know, normally do that I didn't do. So it was a little bit off, but I make a promise, the next time that I get Dynamite Soul in that ring, I'm going to throw and destroy him with the most vicious lariat that I have ever thrown in wrestling so far.
Well, if you hit a tree trunk,
he's
great, man. It's not looking good.
What's that?
I said, if you hit a tree trunk with a lariat, it's not going to look as good, and that's basically what you're doing whenever you hit Davey Richards with anything.
Yeah, people don't understand that either. Davey's only 5'8", 5'10", but he's 200-plus pounds of brick. I mean, the guy, he's built, I mean, there's a town where I grew up, he's built like a brick shit house, and that guy definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped by Saturday morning briefly for the training seminar that he did with Kyle O'Reilly and Tony Cozzina, and that was interesting to see, you know, someone who was trained by Stephen Platinum now training some of Stephen Platinum's trainees. And just talking about the psychology and how everything works and how you can, you know, make your matches look better and all that. And there was a pretty good turnout. The Washington Bullets were there, Tommy Daniels, Devlin Valick. There was probably, I'd say, about 20 people. Marco Polo was there, too. And it was just interesting to see that from a perspective of a non-wrestler, just to observe that process, because I've never really seen that.
Yeah, I really wish I could have been there, but I had to work all day Saturday, so.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you worked Rampage. Was that, you mean the previous weekend?
No, this past Sunday. I made my return to Rampage.
Oh, okay. Well, who did you face there? Was it a Hate Junkies match or just you?
No, it's not the Hate Junkies. Strict 9 has personal obligation to keep him from wrestling on Sunday, which is the reason that we originally left Rampage when they moved to the Sunday schedule. But my situations have changed, so I'm able to do it. And it was just the human hand grenade, Danny Only, one-on-one match against the Rampage Pro Wrestling television champion, Drew Adler. And the kid beat me. There's no two ways about it. He kicked me in the face and dumped me on my head and pinned me. So it was good, though. I mean, it's a weird crowd down there. You know, they're different. And it was a weird dynamic for me because they hadn't seen me in almost a year. So nobody there really remembered or cared who I was. So it was weird. But I always like Rampage. There's a lot of learning that can go on there between, you know, the backstage guidance from Jimmy Rave and Sal Renaro and you know, some of the guys that are there who unfortunately weren't there this Sunday, but you know, guys like Crew Jones, Murder One, you know, guys that've been around for a while who can tell you, you know, all about your match. Jeremy Vane, another one, you know. So it's a good dynamic, man. I really like Rampage, and I'm glad to be back there.
Cool. Well, J.J. Dillon is supposed to call in just a few minutes, so I want to take a commercial break, and then hopefully he'll be on the line shortly after we get back. So I'm back in just a moment.
Hey, Bill.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. Just a few minutes, we'll be talking to Four Horsemen manager James J. Dillon. But until then, back on the air with Matt Hankins of Team All You Can Eat and the Human Hand Grenade, Danny Only. And, of course, me, Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. I guess, guys, let's talk about James J. Dillon a little bit until we get him on the line. Danny,
hey,
I'm
sorry. I wanted to do that when you opened the show up, but when you said special Tuesday edition, the first thing that popped in my head was, yay, special Tuesday.
All right.
I think anytime we do the show on Tuesday, you should let me announce it like that.
Well, we're doing it again next Tuesday because I'll still be in Miami on Monday. So, beginning of the show.
Hey, can we go ahead and say who the guest is going to be next Special Tuesday?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Well, for those listening at home, next week will be a special guest, one half of the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Dark City Fight Club, Evolve Wrestling and Dragon Gate USA Wrestling star, the strongest man I've ever been in the ring with, a close personal friend of mine, and a guy with a really fat head, John Davis.
Yeah, well, I very likely will have an opportunity to see him later this week. He'll be working, I believe, both Dragon Gate shows in Miami, and he and Corey Chavis, the Dark City Fight Club, will be, I believe, defending their tag team titles at NWA Ring Warriors in Fort Lauderdale.
Cool. They will be in a three match against the Headbangers and the Red Devil Fight Team. And take a look at the Red Devil Fight Team because those dudes are serious business too.
Well, it seems like NWA Ring Warriors is definitely a strong indie promotion. I obviously have never seen them before because they're in Fort Lauderdale, but I'm looking forward to checking that out.
They're a newer organization, but the people that are in charge there are no BS kind of guys. They're old school in their mentality, and they know what they're doing, as evidenced by the talent that's on the roster. And a little birdie told me that there's a possibility that they might get a lethal dose of American Hatred sometime in the summer. So I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse, but the Ring Warriors might get a little bit scummy.
All right, well, look forward to finding out more about that.
Me
as
too.
The summer approaches. But that's also the event where Adam Pearce will be defending the NWA world title against a Ring of Honor challenger of Jim Cornette's choosing next Saturday, I believe it is.
Yeah, and did you see the promo that Cornette did?
Yeah, I've seen it.
How awesome is that? You know, that's the stuff that I really like to see in wrestling. You know, you got Jim Cornette, who's, you know, obviously involved in Ring of Honor because he had ROH behind him, you know, when he was doing the freaking promo. But he's putting over this product and helping out, and he's bringing a Ring of Honor competitor down. And, I mean, I have no idea who it is, honestly, and everybody listening, I seriously have no idea. And I'm intrigued as to who it is, to the point where if I lived less than 12 hours away, I would go see this show just to see. Not only just to see that, but to see everybody else. You'll also have, if you're going, John, you'll have a chance to see Bruce, who hopefully we can get on the show soon. Titan, who is a Titan, legit. And,
yeah, he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he's about that. 7 foot, 300 pounds of ugly. But, Ring Warriors is a really good product, and I mean, I hope that it can continue to keep building steam like it has been.
Right. Well, obviously, Ring Warriors is a relatively new addition to the National Wrestling Alliance, but someone with a lot of history in that organization is on the line now. We've got James J. Dillon from the Four Horsemen. How are you tonight, James?
Great. How are you?
Doing okay. Do you prefer James or JJ or...
Whatever you're comfortable with. I answer to both.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Of course, you're being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame with the Four Horsemen this Saturday night. in Miami.
I'm counting the days. It at one time seemed like it was so far in the future, and the anticipation is, I think, the hardest part of it. And I'm due to fly into Miami on Friday, and I can't put into words, you know, how I feel. I kind of say that I've had this storybook career, lengthy career, and this is the cherry on top of my ice cream sundae. That's how I'm looking at it.
Right. Well, I talked to you last summer when you were coming to Atlanta for the NWA Fan Fest. I believe you were the MC of the Hall of Fame induction. Is that what you were doing there?
Yeah, correct. I pinch hit for Jim Cornette that originally was going to do it, and then had a scheduling conflict. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Anytime that I have a chance to be around a lot of the legends, my peers, and to see a ceremony like that, which is really, you know, really done well, I thoroughly enjoy it. I had three of my children there to watch the whole thing, to kind of get a hint of what I did for so much of my life.
Right. Well, are you actually in the NWA Hall of Fame yet?
No, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum up in Amsterdam, New York, is, I guess this is their 11th induction coming up, and I serve on the board of directors, and the last 2 years I actually was chairman of a three-man committee, and the committee changes every year, and you could be a chairman up to 2 years, and which I did, to put the ballot together, and then a group of historians and people that were active in the business actually do the voting. So there is a legitimate process that they, you know, really safeguard, and because of the conflict of interest for those 2 years, I would not have been eligible to even be on the ballot. And then this year, I don't know who was on the ballot, to be honest with you, but I do know that Jim Cornette is being honored along with, you know, Dominic DiNucci and some other great people. So I do plan to be up there in Amsterdam, New York in May for the induction. But to answer your question, no, that day hasn't come yet, and I'm just I'm savoring this one first, and if the other comes at some point in the future, that would be a wonderful thing too, because you know, it is something that where you're selected by your peers, and that, and so that has great meaning too. But this is something that you know, if you ask the average fan, you know, and you say Hall of Fame, a lot of them don't even know that there is an actual brick and mortar museum, the only one right at the moment up in New York, and they equate Hall of Fame with the WWE Hall of Fame, and they've built it up to such a great event that it's easy to understand that that's what the average wrestling fan thinks of, and to be recognized by them, it's a dream come true. I'm very, very excited and very much looking forward to it, and they're bringing all four of my children in for the weekend, and we get an introduction during WrestleMania, which I think is going to probably break all records, you know, with The Rock coming back to his hometown and where he played college football and being in the main event. I mean, it's if you were going to pick a WrestleMania weekend where you could have a magic wand and figure, well, if I'm going in the Hall of Fame, this would be the weekend I would want it to happen. This is it.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, actually, since WrestleMania was in Atlanta last year, you know, I think they did a pretty good job of picking people with history in Georgia to be inducted, but a lot of people were still, you know, kind of hoping for some other names like Sting, and, you know, I don't think many people thought the Four Horsemen would be inducted as a faction at that time, but do you think, do you know, first of all, do you know why they chose this year to induct the Four Horsemen, and do you think it really would have made a difference if it had been Atlanta, where you guys had so much more history?
You know, that's a good question, and I really have no idea. I mean, there was a lot of speculation last year that possibly Arn would be chosen in some manner, whether it was the whole Horseman faction or whether it was just the tag team of Tully and Arn that were, you know, with Bobby Heenan actually working for the company at some point. and that didn't happen and surprised a lot of people. So I'm really happy for Arn because this is long overdue for him, and I don't know what the thought process was, and at this point it doesn't really matter. I'm just happy
right.
that they've chosen us, you know, 25 years after we had that phenomenal run, and just thrilled to be a part of it.
Right. Well, I actually had the opportunity to interview Arn last week, and we're going to air that pre-recorded interview later in the show. But one thing I think a lot of people are still curious about that he actually confirmed when I asked him was that all five members that are being inducted will be on stage together at the same time.
Yeah, that is my understanding, too. You know, right after this thing was announced, I did not talk to Barry. A lot of people that aren't aware that he had a serious medical thing that he was dealing with, and actually has been in had some surgeries, been in therapy, and I certainly haven't talked to him. And I just was told by the people in the wrestling company that yes, Barry would be there, which is great news. I'm just happy that he's well enough to even be there. It's great. With all this, but I did talk to Flair, and the first words out of his mouth were, you know, before you ask the question, hell yeah, I'm going to be there. And of course, you know, Tully and Arn, and you know, this is a tough week for Tully because he lost his father, you know, the great Joe Blanchard, and
mm-hmm.
you know, to not have his father be able to see him, his father, you know, passed on knowing that that his son was being recognized and being honored, but it would have been nice if you know, if Joe had been able to actually see it. But you know, sometimes that's life. But it is my understanding that all five of us will be there, and that will really make it a special event for me, and I'm sure for the rest of the guys too.
Right. Well, I have two co-hosts. I don't mean to hog the questions. I'm sure Danny Only's a wrestler here in Georgia who's been a member of factions that I guess you could say are similar to the Four Horsemen in some ways, in a way that you don't see a lot of in wrestling these days. So I'm sure he's got questions for you. Danny, do you have any questions?
Not honestly. You know, there's something that I was taught early on in wrestling, and it's when you got somebody the caliber of J.J. Dillon, you shut your mouth and open your ears. So I've just been sitting and listening to what he's got to say. You know, the Horsemen, and it's funny, anybody who knows me personally knows that, you know, growing up, and I'm not that old, I mean, I'm 32 years old, but growing up, I hated the bad guys. The only bad guy that I liked growing up was Muta, and that's just because he was just so damn cool. So I absolutely hated the Four Horsemen growing up. And then when I look back on it, I'm like, well, that's because they did their job perfectly. And looking back, it's like when I finally got it and understood everything, it's just how much respect, you know, I have for that entire thing. And when I tell people my favorite incarnation of the Horsemen, everybody, you know, tells me that I'm retarded, but it's just because around the time that I really was into wrestling, and I actually think it was probably one of the shortest runs of you know, the factions was, I think it was right after maybe Tully left, because it was Rick, Arn, Barry, and Sid. And that was like when I was watching, and that's the first one that pops in my head every time. So at the time, that was my favorite one. But now looking back, it, like, the ones that are actually getting inducted now is in my opinion, the best incarnation of the Horsemen, because, you know, the more I go back and look and see what they did, it was just amazing. So I don't know. I mean, I wish I could sit down with you, JJ, and pick your brain for hours, because I don't think there's anything I can get out of you in 10 minutes, but congratulations on finally, you know, getting it. It's very much well-deserved.
Well, thank you very much, and I truly mean that. And I have been asked, you know, in many interviews over the years, you know, what was my favorite faction, and I have to admit that the original group with Ole was special and always will be, and I always feel that you know, if it hadn't been that particular mix with Ole, because it was kind of a spontaneous thing that just happened. It wasn't like it was something that was creatively thought of and then executed. It just, you know, four guys, and I only managed Tully at the time, four guys that were already, you know, pretty successful and had made names for themselves just happened to be put out there for an interview segment together only because of having all the championship belts, all the gold, all the bragging rights, and just something very, very magical happened at that moment, and the fans picked up on it, and really they're the ones that built it from there. And I don't think anybody, certainly none of us, ever could have imagined that it would become as big as it became, and certainly not to have the length of run that we had. And I always look at the best group, and I'm in agreement with you that when Luger came at a time when he was available and was, you know, relatively inexperienced, and we were established and able to camouflage the fact that he did lack that experience without it being glaringly obvious. But when Barry then came in, I mean, here was a guy that had everything. He was tall, he was athletic, he was a good-looking kid, and in the ring, mechanically, he could do anything, you know, had superb timing, and as a group, I don't think there was anything that we couldn't do on any given night, and that's when we were really at our best. And you mentioned, you know, when Tully left, for me, when Tully and Arn left, and that was, you know, you're talking 3 years into a run that, I mean, that's kind of unheard of in the business. And, you know, they left because they had a chance to go, you know, to the big show, and that's where everybody wanted to be in the business at the time, even though WCW was certainly, doing well on their own. But still, it was perception that was the place to be, and to be managed by Bobby Heenan, who I still say to this day the greatest manager that ever was, that set the standard by which all the rest of us are measured. They wanted to go, and when they left, to me, that really ended the glory years of the Horsemen. And as it worked out, it wasn't too long after that I left and walked off camera and went and worked in the front office position for almost 8 years. So everybody has their own choice as to what was their favorite faction, and I never get into discussions about, you know, who deserved to be a Horseman or who didn't, or maybe who could have been a Horseman. I tend to focus on the success that we had and who was involved when we were so successful, and leave it at that.
Right.
Well, Matt, do you have any questions for J.J. Dillon?
Yeah, I was with the group that originally was the Horsemen, as important as all those men were to wrestling, it would be nearly impossible to keep it going as long as it was and have it continue to be impactful. Are you satisfied with the way it all played out from beginning to, we'll say, end now, assuming that there's not a new one sometime in the future? Were you satisfied with how the run went?
As I look back, at the time you're experiencing it, you don't think in those terms, because the business in those days, you know, you were, you basically were self-employed and responsible for development of your own character. And so to have a group of guys come together like that got that kind of response from the fans, and to have success for so long was just, you know, you don't want it to ever end. I recently did a interview that was released on DVD by Kayfabe Commentaries called A Week with the Horsemen, and it was, you know, Sean Oliver and his staff picked a week from 87, so to go back 25 years and try to recollect specific details of one given week was probably the most challenging interview that I've ever done. But, you know, we expanded and talked about other things, and there really was a lot of insight into things that I haven't normally talked about in interviews, about, you know, what went on behind the scene, you know, who enjoyed doing what, and so it got, you know, a little bit personal in that sense. But one of the things that came out in doing that interview, and I had my weekly planner that I used when I did my autobiography, Wrestlers Are Like Seagulls, in 2005. It was kind of like a journal that, and Jim Cornette has done something like that, only his was much more complex than mine. Mine was really for tax purposes, but had information in there that would help, you know, remind me of, you know, whether it was a charter flight or whether, you know, we had driven and stayed over and what have you. So it reminded me of some details. But in looking at that particular week, it was seven nights, and we wrestled every night, twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday. And just randomly looking ahead, I remember looking, I said, well, here's one, let's see, here's another week, that's one, that's two, wow, that's three, that's four. And I got up to 7 weeks before there was even one day off. And I think for anybody in the business today to think of anybody being booked seven straight nights with double shots on the weekends, not every weekend, but most weekends, and be talking about a seven-week period of time, that's unheard of to keep up that kind of pace, that kind of momentum. And yet somehow we managed to do it. And maybe that's why we were so successful, why it got as big as it did, and why it lasted as long as it did. And I'm not, you know, I don't know that it could have played out any better, and it was what it was. And Arn uses the statement that, you know, it wasn't like a coat or a costume that you put on. It was a mindset. And, you know, we were the horsemen, and when we went out every night, either as an individual or collectively, we went out and gave everything we had on that given night and left it all out there. There was nothing saved. And the fans can sense that situation when you're giving like that night in and night out and giving them everything, whether it's a small town or whether it's a huge sold-out arena. It was the same work ethic. And again, I think that's part of why we were so unique and so successful and still being talked about a quarter century later.
I got a question that just popped up, and it was because of something you said. You said something about you were, you know, pretty much self-employed, and you were responsible for the development and the creation of your character. Well, maybe not the creation, but definitely the development and advancement of it. Do you think, and again, I speak on hearsay because I've never obviously worked for the WWE, but I know people who have, and the way that it's been explained to me and then listening to, you know, quote-unquote old-timers, you know, the guys that came up back in the day, you know, they were given a loose idea of what they wanted, but it was up to them to develop and to flourish. And now guys are almost handed a script. You know, you'll look 45 degrees to your left and wink your left eye and say this and blah, blah, blah. Some people can truly excel. Like, one person that immediately comes to mind is Dolph Ziggler, because I feel he was just given this horrible name and horrible gimmick that he just took and made something to where he's freaking Dolph Ziggler now. But, you know, all that notwithstanding, do you think that that's something that's hindered just wrestling in general, is the fact that even though you might have a guy that will go out there and fall on his face, if Ric Flair had debuted in wrestling today and was named Steven Roberts and was told this is exactly what you're going to do and was never given that chance to become the Nature Boy, do you think that that is almost a negative towards wrestling, that people don't really have the opportunity to break out of their shell like they would have back in those times?
Wow, that's a great, great, you know, look at the business. And back in the day, you were totally responsible for the development of your own character. And in the territory days, as you went from place to place, obviously the way Florida was set up, which was very much based on credibility, Jack Briscoe, you know, collegiate champion, and the way Gordon Sully would call a match where he would talk about the holds and leverage, and that was the mindset, and the fans in Florida were educated that to them that was wrestling. Yet you went up to Tennessee with Nick Gulas and later with Jerry Jarrett and Jerry the King Lawler, you had an entirely different approach to the business. It was wild, and it was balls to the wall, but both of them were successful in their own right, but that's what the fans up there were educated to. So as a talent, if you worked in Florida, you had to adapt your character to what the perception was of wrestling in that area. But if you had a chance to go to Tennessee and they were going to give you what they gave you in those days was opportunity. They gave you a chance to be exposed on their television product, and then it was really up to you to a degree what you did with it. Yes, you had to fit in, you had to be in the good graces of the promoter, you had to have guys to work with. There were a lot of other factors involved, but you had a lot of say in adapting, because that's what made you unique and made you different, hopefully, from every, at least that's how I looked at it, made me different from everybody else. Nothing's original in wrestling. You saw something in your past that you liked, that you borrowed from, and that was put together a lot of other things that eventually became whatever character you were. And it was a large part something that you had to become yourself. You had to be comfortable doing it, whether it was your true personality or not. And today's world, I don't think I would succeed. I was challenged doing interviews and gave a lot. I tried to be very spontaneous in terms of my presentation and the appearance of how I handled an interview. And what I hope wasn't very, very apparent was how much preparation, how much effort went into doing it to give that impression. And each week was a challenge to make your interview different than everybody else's and make your interview different than what your interview was the week before. In other words, all you needed to know was a couple of bullet points. It's either this is the current, you know, angle that I'm in with, whether it was Dusty Rhodes or the Road Warriors or whatever it happened to be. And this is the pay-per-view coming up, and this is the feature match, or these are the towns where I'm going to be appearing. And you then knew what you had to say to hit those points. You didn't need somebody to tell you. You knew yourself. Today's talent, I don't think, have that ability anymore because they never had to learn it. They never had to develop it. And for somebody to give me a written script word for word of what they think my character would say or how they deliver it, I think it would be very hard for me to be successful in that environment.
Right on.
Along those same lines, another thing that you don't see a lot today, especially in WWE, is managers and stables. And as you mentioned a little while ago, people like Lex Luger benefited from being a part of the Four Horsemen when they weren't necessarily ready for certain things in wrestling, because they had the experience of all the guys around them, and they had an opportunity to learn and flourish a little bit. Of course, you know, these days they have developmental territories and as Danny pointed out, script writers and things like that. So it's a lot different. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, or do you think we'll ever see things go back to the way they were when the Four Horsemen were as dominant as they were?
You know, I tend to doubt it. You mentioned, you know, you don't see managers anymore, and the reason is because you don't have the unique, bizarre individual characters that you had. You know, when you had a Mongolian Stomper, when you had an Abdullah the Butcher, they were at their best when they didn't speak and there was like an aura around them. You know, is this really a crazy man like he appears that he is, or the original Sheik? And the manager then was the catalyst that helped, you know, further the storyline and to make the interview, and the character was just what you visually saw. You don't have that type of character depth anymore and that variety. So really the need for managers, I mean, the business has changed so much that it, to be honest, doesn't exist anymore. And also the business went with, you know, the first it was the female valets, and then, you know, there was Miss Elizabeth and Sherry Martel that were both very talented people and groundbreaking in what they did, and they changed it. So now you have more, you know, eye candy female managers, and, you know, once you go down a direction, it's hard to then go back and pretend none of that happened and go back to how it used to be. And so that's where the business has gone, and I don't see a role for managers in the current product. And the talent, as I've already said, you know, they don't have that pressure of having to do an interview. Most of them have contracts and things are laid out about, you know, their programs and where they're going to be, and there's not as much at stake with any one particular interview or any one particular match. Now, if you go out there and fall flat in your face, yeah, I guess you can, you know, have negative consequences as a result of it. But, and so I guess there is still pressure there, but it's just a different kind of pressure.
Right. Well, James, I think we could probably keep talking to you for hours, so I guess we should probably start trying to wrap it up. But if Matt and Danny have any other questions for you, feel free to ask now.
I did just wonder if the right four guys were together in one of the bigger companies and someone wanted to call them the Four Horsemen without any parts of the original groups being present. Do you think that's something that you would accept or would be accepted by the guys who were there in the beginning?
Well, do you remember the old saying, you know, often imitated but never duplicated? And I think that the Horsemen were a unique happening that was very spontaneous, and it had a phenomenal run. And the history of wrestling is such that promotions usually try to take something and, you know, if it was a racehorse, they would run it until the thing just collapsed and couldn't take another step because they just, you know, become addicted to the success. And to try and duplicate it, you can never duplicate the original. And that's just how it is. So if somebody did it, it's happened before in the business, would I take it personally or be resentful? Nah, but I would kind of know ahead of time what I think the limitations are about whoever the individuals are, whatever they call them, or how talented they are. We had something special that you know, will never be duplicated.
I can agree with that 100%. And I don't have a question, but as a wrestler and as somebody who grew up watching wrestling and just wanted to be that, you know, I wanted to be that person that everyone else wanted to be. I don't have a question, but I just want to say thank you for laying the groundwork for everybody that's come since then and everybody that's going to come after that. You know, from the bottom of my heart, I'm sure everybody who wrestles and is listening to this will agree. Thank you very much.
Well, I've enjoyed it. I started as a fan so many years ago, I don't want to count them anymore, and I had a passion for it, and that's what drove me to have a career and to keep going, and I never lost that passion, whether I was a referee, a wrestler, a manager, or in an executive position. And I would encourage the fans that are listening to us to check out my website, jjdillon.com, and there's a lot of old pictures on there. You can get information about my autobiography, which you have to do a little work to get it. It's not sold in bookstores, and it's a great book. It's kind of a history of modern wrestling. It's been called a textbook for wrestling, explaining how the business is structured and changed, and it's a feel-good story about a kid that had a dream and lived his dream. And I stay connected to the business through Cauliflower Alley Club, that I became a lifetime member and go to their reunions every year. And as I said, I'm on the board of the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and both of those links are visible on my website, where you can go to them and check out. But right now, I'm just totally focused on this weekend and the Hall of Fame induction and seeing the guys again, because we don't get an opportunity to get together very often. And it's a chance, as I do in every interview that I ever do, just to say thank you to the fans, because the success of professional wrestling, the success of the Horsemen, and the success of J.J. Dillon really can all be attributed to the support of the greatest fans in the world. That's the wrestling fans over the years. And it'd be nice to be in Miami for the weekend, and I'm sure I'll have a chance to interact at different times and places with fans. And you know, they're much a part of this as anything, and as much as we enjoy it, I hope that the fans continue to enjoy it. And because of DVDs and YouTube and you know, other you know, the WWE you know, on-demand series where they can see a lot of those, you know, older matches from years gone by. You know, we're being exposed to a whole new generation or generations of fans that, you know, didn't see us. I mean, they weren't old enough to see us and appreciate it. So it's just very, very gratifying, you know, a quarter century later to have people still talking about us and to think enough of us to honor us in this way. And it's been great talking to you guys and a chance to talk about it.
Been great talking to you as well. And before we let you go, I wanted you to also mention you're going to be part of the Wrestle Reunion Fan Fest, and I believe they're doing a wrestling show to pay tribute to Championship Wrestling from Florida that you're going to be a part of, right?
Yeah, I'm. That was something that was scheduled before this thing ever, was mentioned, and so I've always been a man of my word and honored every commitment that I ever had. And I have a Wrestle Reunion appearance coming up also, the first one that they're doing in Canada, in Toronto, in a few weeks. So a few things going on, and I'm hopeful of being back at the Fan Fest this year with Greg Price. He does an excellent job, and he's coming back to Charlotte this year. And it'd be great to be there and have a chance to see a lot of the fans too. So a lot going on, and like I say, the passion for the business is still with me after all these years, and just hope I get a chance to see a lot of the fans and say hello and thank you one more time this coming weekend.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, J.J. Dillon, and congratulations, and I'll see you this weekend. I'm going to actually be down there.
Great. Come up and say hello.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. So, we've got a couple of other callers. I believe one is Siler Cross, who we will talk to in a minute. But right now we're being joined by someone else who has become all too familiar over the past few weeks. I'll let him introduce himself.
Yes.
Hello.
Professor Morte. Professor Morte of the Silver Screen Spook Show. Getting ready to bring you guys Monstrosity Championship Wrestling. Are you guys ready for this?
I definitely am ready. Do you have a... You have something
you
to tell
sure
us
about
tomorrow night's show?
Well, I will tell you what. You know, it seems that Atlanta's been overrun with zombies. And I got a bad feeling there's going to be a lot of zombies at the show tomorrow. Big
okay,
zombies,
well, are you...
Little zombies, but all of them wrestling zombies.
All right, are they your zombies, or will you be fighting against the zombies?
Well, we'll just have to see. You know, me, I've got to say, I usually side with the zombies, you know, but
right.
I'm working with, you know, the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling. I've got to make sure, you know, these wrestlers and these zombies work together in some way. So, you know, whether that way is they'll work together, you know, ending up into the hospital, which I think as many zombies as possible get down there. They're going to put these wrestlers in the hospital, but you never know.
All right. Well,
I do know that you're going to see for the first time ever tomorrow a gay vampire wrestle a redneck werewolf in the ring. I can tell you that Dracula, the gay vampire, is going to be making his first debut, and he's going to be taking on the Alabama werewolf.
I'm for the werewolf.
You know, the Alabama werewolf, yeah. They're not too tolerant around Birmingham.
No, they're not.
So I don't know what they're going to think about a gay vampire.
Well,
but,
that's quite an announcement.
It's pretty interesting, yeah. Well, can we even talk about that thing on wrestling, or do we usually try to keep the gay stuff back in the locker room, huh?
Well, you know, Simon Sermon is out and proud, and I think there are a few others that are, so.
Yeah, Simon Sermon, he's going to be there, that's for sure.
There are literally so many puns that I could say about a gay vampire and his name sucking, and I'm not even going to do it. I'm going to let him tell themselves.
Well, you know. Somebody did tell me earlier that my idea sucked, I said, how could a gay vampire possibly suck? And then I realized what I had just said. I put more than my foot in my mouth.
I think the answer is very carefully, if I understand right.
Yes, but I know. I'm really looking forward to that first match with Dracula versus the Alabama Werewolves. You know, that's just going to kick things off around 9:30.
All right. Well, that is definitely quite an announcement, and I'm happy to hear at least some knowledge of what will actually be going on tomorrow night.
Oh, there's too many surprises, though. Like, I don't
want
to give away too much.
Yeah, I don't want you to give away too much. No.
I don't want to give away too much, this being the big debut of this thing, you know. It was only seen.
Right, well, that's enough to get people there before, you know, before the first match, because that's something they don't want to miss, I think.
No, you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss that.
Hey,
so,
guys,
I'm looking forward to pulling the strings tomorrow, this wrestling match, and seeing just what happens when you put and luchadors together in a ring.
And you know what, guys? I'm looking forward to it, too, but given my hellish work schedule, if I want to be there, I have to go now so I can go to sleep and get up and go to work in the morning and then come to the show tomorrow night. So I will see all of you there. I am getting off the damn phone.
All right. Thanks for hanging in there, Danny.
You guys have
and
a good
thank
night.
Thank you, Morte.
All right.
All right. See you. Thank you, Morte.
Okay.
We got someone on hold that we need to talk to, so I'm going to let you go, but we will see you tomorrow night, and I'm looking forward to whatever might happen with all that.
Okay, it'll be fantastic.
It sounds like it. All right, thanks for calling. And now I believe we have Siler Cross on the line.
There,
is that you?
Yeah, guys.
Hey, man. Sorry to keep you holding so long.
I don't really know how to follow a story about a gay vampire. I'm not really sure how to follow that.
Yeah, well, that was quite... We talked to James J. Dillon, and then we talked about gay vampires, and now we're on the Siler Cross.
We're a full-service show.
Only here on Georgia Wrestling Now. Unfortunately, Danny had to leave, but... Of course, last night we were all at Monday Night Raw, and it was a great show, you know, a good last show before WrestleMania weekend. But after the show went off the air on USA, some interesting things happened at Phillips Arena for the crowd that was in attendance. And Siler Cross, I thought you might want to talk about what happened with you.
Well, it's a very interesting experience because all I really tried to do was help Miz out, you know? I've seen that trick before. I've read Jericho's books. I've watched all the videos. It's a trick. So instead of taking my advice, he wants to turn his back on me. Fine. That's cool, man. I don't really know how to react other than I'm coming for him.
Let me just set it up a little bit because, of course, most people didn't see this on TV, but... After the end of the show with The Rock and John Cena, John Cena left the ring, and then The Miz came out and demanded an apology from The Rock for stealing his thunder, basically, last year at WrestleMania in Atlanta. So he demanded an apology, and The Rock offered a handshake. And, of course, everyone there except for The Miz, I think, knew what was coming from that. But, Siler Cross, you were sitting, what, fourth row?
Yeah, 4-0, right in front of the hard camera.
Right. So you yelled out, "Don't do it," to The Miz, and then The Rock responded to you, right?
Yeah, he did. He's the one that started it off. I got his attention, so that must mean something about me, doesn't it?
Well, you got his attention, and then The Rock and The Miz and you kind of interacted for a while, and they even put you up on the Titantron for a minute, or for a few seconds, I should say. But it was just funny because I didn't know who they were talking about. I was sitting next to Drew, one of Matt's fellow members of Team All You Can Eat, and as soon as The Miz said Fat Boy or something like that, Drew said, "Oh, is he talking about Corey?" So I looked to see who he was talking about, and I was like, "No, that's not Corey." And I was like, "Is that Siler Cross?" And then we looked up on the big screen, and there you were. So it was just... It was definitely a funny interaction that happened. So But I guess the Miz should have listened to you, right?
I agree. I mean, obviously, he took the rock bottom. That was inevitable. It's inevitable. I don't even know why I even walked down there. Idiot.
Well, you, I saw your posts on Facebook and Twitter about it, so I thought you might want to talk a little bit more about it and how it felt to be unofficially, you know, interacting with two of the top stars in wrestling today.
I wouldn't necessarily say the Miz is a top star, but I will say it's maybe a once-in-a-chance lifetime, because who knows, maybe if I do get to the Fed and The Rock is there, we'll never say, because The Rock's career may be over. He's probably walking away after this Sunday anyways. So that is something that you can always put on your resume and talk about later in the future.
Well, it sounds like one of those things, kind of like, you know, Mick Foley being in the crowd when Jimmy Snuka came off the top of the cage and stuff like that, that, you know, we might see this one day in the Siler Cross WWE three-disc set.
Exactly. Cause you know
they'll have a little circle around you
on
the fourth row.
Yep. Yes, sir. It's all the future. History in the making, man.
Cool. Well, I don't know if you wanted to say anything else about it, but I just thought it was funny and wanted to have you on to talk about it a little bit.
No, that's pretty much said my piece. I'm coming after Miz. I'm gonna start harassing him every way I can.
Well, you can always tweet. You can always tweet to him. You know.
This is true. I already started.
Well, of course, you are usually part of Empire Wrestling on Friday nights at Academy Theater. But where can people find you aside from Phillips Arena in the next week or so?
I believe I'll be somewhere around the Celebration tomorrow night down at Masquerade. I wrestle at Avondale States every Friday. I'll be going traveling with PPW to Fort Adele as well. April 26th at the Masquerade, Master J and myself are facing the Washington Bullets as part of the tag team season. It's free for 21 and up to come out and see us. We will be kicking their little asses, so guarantee that. Quick keep watch on Facebook.com, Siler.cross. I'll be posting more dates as they come up.
All right. So you mentioned the Porterdale shows. The next PCW show in Porterdale is April 7th, and then I believe they're every first and third Saturday. So the next one after that will be the 21st.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and congratulations on being part of a WWE show.
Thank you, sir. Thanks
for
having
me. See you later.
Bye.
All right, Matt Hankins.
I'm still here.
So it's always great when we finish a huge interview like James J. Dillon, and then we talk to Professor Morte, and then things just kind of go a little haywire.
I like it. I'm going to miss Morte when this particular show is done. I'm sure he'll be back in the future.
Yeah.
I got to get the werewolf
shirt
made up. I know that much. You know me.
Werewolf shirt.
I never roll into a show unprepared. I got to have Alabama Werewolf t-shirts.
Yeah, well, that's... I didn't even know about that. Honestly, I interviewed Morte earlier today and posted it on Wrestling with Pop Culture, and he was still being very vague and mysterious, but I guess, you know, he's cooked up some good stuff for tomorrow night. And for those who haven't heard it over the past few weeks, tomorrow night is the Wrestling with Pop Culture anniversary party. It's the official Atlanta Film Festival after party for the screening of the PCW documentary The Booker. There's going to be a couple of bands, Death is a Dialogue and Knee Deep, N-E-E-D-E-E-P. And actually, Knee Deep, one of the guys in that band was part of one of the first PCW shows at Masquerade. He was the Jackal. I don't know if you were there for that, Matt.
I was. Yep, I do remember that.
So the Jackal and Lou.
A lot of Wolverine jokes, a lot of expression oil change jokes.
Yeah, so Jackal and Lou the Jew, his manager, are both in this band, Knee Deep. And the I don't remember if she came out with them or with their opponent, but you remember the girl that was dressed as a nun that was part of that?
Yes.
She's also in the band.
Opponent, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So And then there's going to be body painting from Neon Armor Body Painting. I've got a lot of great raffle prizes from the Silver Scream Spook Show and Monster Joe Coffee, who made the Wrestling with Pop Culture t-shirts, which will be available tomorrow, and which Team All You Can Eat has already purchased and been proudly wearing to such events as WWE Raw, and I appreciate that. But anyway, yeah, so tomorrow night, 9 p.m. at the Masquerade is the official start time. I guess the wrestling starts at 9:30. It will be $10 at the door, $5 if you're coming from the screening of the Booker, or if you are an Atlanta Film Festival pass holder for the whole festival, you get in for free. So let me go ahead and mention the other Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows. We've got Ringside Wrap tomorrow, Wednesdays at 8, with Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervive. And tomorrow they're going to be airing an interview I did with Ring of Honor's Eddie Edwards, who will also be part of the two Ring of Honor shows down in Fort Lauderdale later this week. And he very well could come out of that as the new Ring of Honor champion. But you can listen to his interview tomorrow on Ringside Wrap. And you can also find it on Wrestling with Pop Culture, along with lots of other interviews with WWE guys. The Arn Anderson interview will be on there sometime in the next couple days. And also check out the Miami New Times. I've done a few articles for them, and they've already posted a couple of them. Today they posted an interview I did with Edge, which I would have put on the air, but I interviewed him on my way to work in the car, so there's a lot of background noise, and I didn't think it would really come across that well over the radio. But it turned out to be a good interview, and he's also being inducted into the Hall of Fame alongside the Four Horsemen and Mil Máscaras and lots of other reputable names. But, of course, again, Thursdays at 8 is Peach State Pandemonium with Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons. Fridays at midnight is Midnight Black Mass with the Reverend Dan Wilson. And once a month on Sundays at 2 p.m. is the OVW Overview with Larry Goodman, Trent Van Dries, and Muhammad Ali Vaez. I believe we've covered everything, so I can go ahead and play the Arn Anderson interview to play us out, unless you have anything else you want to talk about, Matt.
No, just be at the Masquerade tomorrow. It will be a spooktacular. I like any excuse to use the word spooktacular, so you're going to hear that a lot.
Absolutely, and Professor Morte uses a lot of words like fantastic and things like that. So he will be there. PCW has promised to come over after the screening, so they're going to challenge some of the monsters. Amber Taylor from the Sexual Side Effects is going to be the host of the show. We've got sponsorship from PBR, Scout Mob, Ox's Ring Rentals. Creative Loafing is still giving away a pair of tickets, I believe. And Adrenaline Fitness in Sandy Springs, which is where I believe Marco Polo works there, or someone that looks a lot like him. But anyway, we've been talking about this quite a lot, so it's tomorrow night. We'll probably talk about it a little bit next week in the aftermath, but please come out and check it out. And then, of course, lots of other wrestling shows this weekend. NWA Anarchy has its big show. What is it called? Hell, something hell.
You got me.
Anyway, it's like their big show of the year. So, and then of course PCW on Friday at Academy Theater, and a lot of stuff going on in South Florida, of course, which we've talked about, and I'll be down there, so I'll talk about that next week, which will again be on Tuesday. Anyway, so let me go ahead and play this Arn Anderson interview. And Matt, I want to thank you for being here again this week, and I will talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Be safe. See you
all right,
off.
You too. Oh, yeah.
Hello again. So
okay.
What I was trying to ask was, what have the rest of the horsemen that are being inducted into the Hall of Fame been up to, you know, in recent years, if you know?
Yeah, well, J.J.'s got a regular job. He's up around Philadelphia. I speak to him periodically. Flair's with TNA.
Right.
Tully has been working and has been going through some illness with his dad. As a matter of fact, his his dad passed away yesterday, so I'll have an extensive conversation with Tully after we hang up. And Barry has been going through some health issues, and I think he's going to be good to go for Mania. So that's my the only update that I have on all those guys. I'm a pretty busy guy. I'm gone all the time, so when I'm off, I don't speak to many people.
Right. Well, just for people who may not know exactly what you do for WWE, what is your role currently with the company?
Well, it's my title is producer. I do a little bit of everything. I mentor the young guys in the afternoon. Prior to Raw and SmackDown, I run live events around the country, which are non-televised events. I am on headsets of being a bridge between the ring and the truck. So I got pretty much a wide variety of job duties. Anything really that needs to be done, I can get her done.
Okay. Well, as someone who, well, first of all, you know, a lot of people are critical of how much wrestling and WWE has changed since the days like when the Four Horsemen were dominating the scene, for instance. As someone who was part of that era and is still in the business, how do you feel about the way things are now as compared to the way they were when you were actively wrestling?
Well, it's a different product. WWE now, and I'm sort of glad about this because I have kids. It's a PG product. In the days I wrestled, it would have been an R product. It was pretty much blood and guts, and you know, the language wasn't bad. You couldn't use bad language at all on television, but the violence was up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest change I would see. Plus, we're more television now than in those days, a lot more. I have a SmackDown and Raw. It's a lot of TV to produce, a lot of long days. And probably the biggest of them all is the fact that all of us of that era were products, byproducts of having a lot more days under our belt, a lot more wrestling matches. You know, we're working 300 plus days in those years. These guys, you know, as many as 336 one year personally. These guys do not have the opportunity to do that. They come to us, a lot of them come to us. They go into our system, SCW, and a year later you're seeing them on TV. So I would hope the fans understand that these guys are doing their best, giving you all they got. They just don't have the experience that we had in my era. And if you understand that, and that the fact that it is a non-lethal PG product, you'll enjoy the product a lot more. I think you got HD, which makes the quality of the, you know, so much better. I go back and look at the old tapes, and I go, God, the production values were horrible. You got to compare the two. But, you know, I think it's a great product for the whole family. Anything you'll be proud to take your children to go see, and it's still got a lot of value, I think.
Okay. Well, obviously, when you were still wrestling and the Four Horsemen were still out there, you guys were dominant mostly in the South, so I'm sure you spent some good time in Florida, but I'm not sure if you made it down to Miami that much where you'll be inducted. Did you do a lot of wrestling down there?
Not really. I missed the Florida territory. I never actually wrestled there. I've been to Miami probably, oh, God, in my 30-year career, I may have been to Miami 100 times, maybe. But it's a great setting. It's a beautiful sports city. The families that come down and the fans that come down are going to have, obviously, a plethora of wonderful things to do in your city. I kind of look at that. For me, I'm going to be working the whole time, but it is a nice week for the fans and for the families who come down. And the fact that they've got so much to do, it's going to be a great week. And it'll be a great week for the city of Miami, too, that's for sure. It's going to bring a lot of dollars to your town.
Right. Well, obviously, you guys were very dominant in Georgia and Atlanta, which is where WrestleMania was last year. Do you know why you were chosen, or why WWE decided to induct the Four Horsemen this year as opposed to last year?
I have no idea, and I'm not one of those guys that asks why or say, you know, why not. For me, it's such a tremendous honor. You know, I would have never been so pompous as to think I was ever going to be in the Hall of Fame. So the location doesn't matter to me. I'm just thrilled to be sharing the stage with those guys one more time. And could have been in Alaska. I'd still be as thrilled.
Okay. Well, do you know yet if all of the members that are being inducted will be present that night?
Yes, they will. I've spoken to everybody. Everybody's going to be there. It would be the group that I would have chosen of all the different incarnations. That would be the one that I would put in there just from a performance standpoint. So I'm very happy about that as well.
Right. Well, when is the last time that group of guys was together in the same room or on the same stage?
There was only one time, believe it or not. Since all that went down and Philly and I went our separate ways. A few years ago, might have been as many as three, Greg Price had a reunion right here in Charlotte up in Concord, which he has every year, wrestling fans reunion, and we're all together for that. And the turnout was huge. We signed for 8 straight hours, hard as we could sign. I don't know how many people that was, but it was very, very successful. I can only imagine WWE and the vehicle that we have at our disposal, how huge this is going to be this time. And the Tyson and Simmons and Mascaras and all those other guys, Edge, it's just going to be a hell of a night.
Right. Well, there are obviously a few other people who were members of the Four Horsemen over the years that are not included in this induction, and you know, some of them have not yet been inducted into the Hall of Fame individually either. Are there any of those guys that you'd like to see, or even just in general guys from your era that haven't been inducted yet that you'd like to see in the Hall of Fame?
Well, to have a Hall of Fame, you know, without Ole Anderson in it, it is a shame. I mean, he was just that influential in the industry. I think that's more of a personal issue with him and the WWE, so I don't even want to address that. But yeah. Bobby Dennis Condrey and Jim Cornette, I think, should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. I think the Rock and Roll Express should be in the Hall of Fame. Guys from that era were just, I mean, the matches those four guys had along with Jimmy were just phenomenal. And if those guys aren't in, it's going to be a huge, huge travesty. Obviously, I think Sting belongs in, hands down. That's just off the top of my head. I'm sure I'm missing a lot of guys, but those come to mind right off the top of my head.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and I'm looking forward to the induction ceremony and everything else.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
All right.
Look forward to coming to your city. You guys have a blast that week. Okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. A production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.